Right then, so we've talked about it for so long now that the action is soon going to start in Paris. Of course, I'm talking about the 2024 Summer Olympic Games, which takes place in Paris, in France. It begins next week, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined now by, well, anything but footies, TalkSport, and North Derbyshire Radio's very own Michael Waydock. Michael, you're going to be in Paris for the Olympics. Just first of all, how excited are you about the next instalment of the Olympic Games?
Well, it seems to have come around very quickly for me because obviously we've only had the 3 years since Tokyo because of the delayed games, the COVID games of 2020 that was pushed back to 2021. So yeah, it does seem to have come around super quick. And to think that this time next week, I will be in the center of Paris. I'll be at the Trocadéro, and one of my first jobs will be to try and describe that opening ceremony, which is going to be pretty spectacular and very different. If people don't know, it's going to be on the River Seine, the opening ceremony. So we've not got that traditional opening ceremony inside a stadium like we are used to, like people will remember from London 2012, perhaps. What we're going to have is that cultural program mixed up this time with the parade of the athletes. And it's all going to happen on boats on the River Seine, watched by an estimated 500,000 people. And also we will incorporate some of the key landmarks in Paris that people will know, like the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe. And that will form a part of the route for the opening ceremony as well. It will then conclude, as I said, at the Trocadéro in this temporary arena that's been constructed there with views of the Eiffel Tower, where the final parts of the opening ceremony that people will be familiar with, the arrival of the Olympic flag, the rendition of the Olympic hymn, and of course, the lighting of the Olympic flame. That will all happen there in front of around about 12,000 people that they call the Olympic family. So yeah, it's going to be very different. It's obviously a major headache for the organizers, and they are locking down Paris as we speak at the moment. There is a huge police and security presence there. We've had security briefings this week, which have been interesting as well. So it will be very different. It will be a spectacle for people that are listening to it on the radio, or indeed the few people that might choose to watch it on the television.
Yeah, it should be a very unique start then to this Olympic Games. So we'll look forward to that. So before we talk about Team GB's prospects in general, then let's of course have a look at the local interest, because there is plenty of local interest in our North Derbyshire region for this Olympic Games coming up. So just in terms of the people competing, do we have then, for any listeners maybe not aware, do we have any medal hopes? Do we maybe even have people from our region who could have a gold medal in 2 weeks' time?
Well, I think the first person that I would start with would be Holly Pernwebb, that a lot of our listeners will know, captain of the GB women's hockey team, who have had and enjoyed some success over the last couple of editions of the Olympic Games. So a bronze medal in Tokyo, a gold in Rio, and of course, the women's hockey team won a bronze in London as well. So the GB hockey women's team, they're in Pool B with Australia, Argentina, Spain, USA, in South Africa, and they actually begin their campaign pretty early on. So Sunday the 28th of July, quarter past midday, 12:15 UK time, GB will face off against Spain, and that's an interesting opening encounter. And I think for Holly and her teammates, that one could really set the tone for how this campaign goes, because Great Britain qualified at the Olympic qualifier events, because obviously you have the continental champions that qualify. So the Dutch qualified as European champions. So Great Britain had to go into this second qualifier event. They actually lost to Belgium in the semi-final, but they beat Ireland in the third place playoff. So that secured Great Britain their place at the games and meant Ireland miss out. Spain actually reached the final of that. So Belgium against Spain in the final meant that both Belgium and Spain qualified. And there has been some interesting tussles in qualification as well between Great Britain and Spain. And I think that first game for Holly Pernwebb and her teammates could really set the tone and build some momentum. Australia come up next for Great Britain, Monday, the 29th of July. Then 2 days later, 9:30 start in the morning for Great Britain against South Africa. The USA is the penultimate game, and then Argentina on Saturday, the 3rd. And then we'll go to the knockout stages. And you remember, as I said, Great Britain beat India for the bronze medal in Tokyo. Netherlands beat Argentina for gold. And I've been speaking to Holly. I've chatted to her a couple of times ahead of these games, and they talk in the hockey team about moments, and they believe that this could be a moment. They believe they have experience of what they call converting the moment. So, you know, we remember the shootout win in Rio, and they think their experience, and Holly is more experienced than most, they think that experience of converting the moment, being in the moment, will stand them in good stead when they get to Paris.
Absolutely. And in terms of other medal prospects as well, because I've been following the progress recently of the matlock rower Ollie Wilkes. He's in the men's four event in the rowing, and Ollie Wilkes has already got a lot of medals to his name. Is there a chance Ollie could have an Olympic medal in 2 weeks' time?
I'm really excited about the prospects for GB rowing this time around. And we know that traditionally it's been a very strong sport for Great Britain at the Olympic Games. And you quite rightly say the men's four, gold in Sydney in 2000, gold in Athens in 2004, gold in Beijing 2008, gold in London 2012, gold in Rio 2016. Fell short though in Tokyo in 2021. But yeah, Great Britain rowing, they were going through a transitional period back then. So they didn't have the medal return that we have come to expect from the British rowing team. But I think this time, looking at the results at the last World Championships, Great Britain won six gold medals, a silver and a couple of bronzes. Now, there were three medals in para events at that World Championships because it's an integrated World Championships. But I still think we are looking at five or six medals for the British rowing team. And Ollie Wilkes, part of that men's four with David Ambler, Matt Aldridge, Freddie Davidson. I think they have a tremendous chance. They were gold medalists at the World Championships, and they, along with a number of the other rowing crews, I think will go to Paris with a lot of confidence. And I think that first week, as we know, traditionally rowing in the morning, first week, always a spectacular setting. Paris will be no different. The rowing venue next to the slalom canoe venue, just a little bit outside of Paris. I think we'll see great success, and we'll hear the national anthem quite a few times in that first week.
Yeah, fantastic. And also in terms of our local region, quite similar to the previous Olympic Games as well, we do tend to do very well when it comes to swimming. And that's exactly the case for this Paris Olympics coming up. So I think we've got the likes of Abby Wood, Jacob Whittle in there. They're from Buxton and Alfreton, respectively. What's the prospects there of maybe some possible local regional medals there for North Derbyshire competitors?
I'll speak about Abby first from Buxton, competing in the 200 metres individual medley and the 200 metres freestyle. So Sunday the 28th for the medley and Friday the 2nd for the freestyle. I mean, came from nowhere really to even get on the team in Tokyo and then reached the final and finished fourth, lost out actually on a medal by 0.11 seconds. And we were speaking to Abby on the podcast recently, and she was talking about how she felt that Tokyo wasn't a proper Olympic experience. She described it as just being another meet. So you have to wonder whether when she gets into that proper Olympic environment, whether that can propel her on. And again, with a lot of the sports, I would say that come through the heats, come through the semi-finals, get a lane in the final, and it's up for grabs. And the 200 meters individual medley across the world at the moment is really close. There's eight women swimmers there, all within a couple of seconds of each other, all within a couple of seconds of the world record. And I think if Abby can get herself in the final and she's in that eight, then I think that she has a chance. I mean, the last British female to win an individual gold medal at the Olympic Games was back in 2008, and that was Rebecca Adlington. So, you know, it's been some time. I would say the 200 metres individual medley is her best opportunity. The freestyle behind Freya Corbett, she finished behind her at the Aquatics GB trials to qualify for the Olympics. And then there might obviously be the opportunity to be in the relays as well. And Aquatics GB and Team GB have really focused on relays as an opportunity to win medals, certainly mixed relays as well. And you mentioned Jacob Whittle. I mean, he's still only 19, which is amazing to believe he's going to his second Olympic Games. He has a couple of relay medals. If we're talking about relays, two world championship relay medals, 4x200 meters freestyle, and that 4x100 meters mixed freestyle as well. Now, if you go back to Tokyo, Great Britain won the gold medal in the 4x200 meters free. It was Tom Dean, James Guy, Matt Richards, and Duncan Scott with Callum Jarvis, who swam in one of the heats. So Jacob will be hoping to get in amongst that group. And they also won the gold in the 4x100 meters mixed freestyle with Kathleen Dawson, Adam Peaty, James Guy, and Anna Hopkin, with Freya Anderson swimming in one of the heats. So again, Jacob will be hoping, I think, to get in that four or five. In Tokyo, he made the semi-final. He was the youngest member of the swim team in Tokyo. Missed out on the final of the 4x100 meters freestyle by 0.04 seconds. So I think he's in, you know, he will hope to be part of that, at those relay squads. And, you know, he'll take the success that he had at the Commonwealth Games, where he won four medals, including a gold as well in Birmingham. And he'll take that forward. And I think we should just mention as well, as we're talking swimming, Joe Litchfield, born in Chesterfield, of course, 26 years of age, and will, we think, compete in the 100 metres butterfly and the 4x100 meters medley relay. Interesting as well, his brother's there, Max Litchfield, the pair of them more usually associated with South Yorkshire. But Joe, as I said, was born in Chesterfield as well. So, you know, I think Joe and Max is an interesting selection because he's been out of the programme for a while, but he came back, burst back into life, came to the trials and got selected. So, yeah, definitely be looking out for the Litchfield brothers as well. We know about Olympic brothers, don't we? Like the Murrays and the Brownleys and others, of course, the Ingebrigtsens and the Borlée brothers as well in track and field. So let's see what the Litchfield brothers can do for North Derbyshire.
Yeah, now just finally then, from our local region. Now, I'm not sure if the, because I remember listening to John Cushing's interview with this athlete, and I think he had a wry smile on his face when he was described as a veteran. And he did remind people that he is only 30. But for Liam Pitchford from Chesterfield, he's been flying the flag for British table tennis for so long. I think I'm right in saying this is going to be his fourth Olympic Games. I know he's had, I think, a shoulder injury recently, but we all know when Liam's at his best, he can beat anyone pretty much. What are the prospects of Liam Pitchford having a really good Olympic Games this time around?
You're absolutely right. No Brit has ever competed in table tennis in four Olympic Games before, and he has had some significant shoulder surgery, but he's told us that he's back fit and he's been rehabbing. And he does say that on his day, he thinks he can beat anyone in the world. So he's playing the singles. He's qualified through his ranking for that. You know, he had tremendous success at the Commonwealth Games, where he won a gold in the doubles, bronze in the team event, silver in the singles. It's very difficult to see past the Chinese when you look at Olympic table tennis. They've won six of the last seven men's singles titles. They've won the gold and silver medal in the last four editions. But I go back to what I said about GB hockey. And if you can get that little bit of momentum, if you can get something going, then I think that nothing is off the table. I always remember in Rio that we had a badminton bronze medal that Team GB won in Rio. And it was an unexpected medal, but what it was that little bit of momentum built, and the pair that won the bronze medal, Chris Aldridge was one of those guys. They just sort of round by round built that bit of belief in themselves. And I think that's all that Liam Pitchford can do. He can go in there one game at a time. He reached the third round in Tokyo and he was seeded 11th. But as I said, he believes on his day he can beat anyone. It will be very, very tough, I think, for him to get to the final stages of that table tennis tournament. But, you know, you just have to wait and see, and he will have to wait and see what belief that he can start building as the tournament progresses.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, great that there's so much local interest in these Olympic Games coming up that we'll all be looking forward to. But just on a more general scale then, as you say, this is, well, the quickest ever in Olympics has come back around, obviously, because of the delayed Olympics last time. But what's new about this Olympic Games? Have we got any sort of new sports that people can have a look at? And of course, what impact, by the way, does having full crowds back at the Olympic Games have? Because, of course, back in Tokyo at the last one, it was still heavily impacted by COVID restrictions.
I think for the athletes, and certainly for the British athletes, they are super excited to have crowds back, because we know that it's just such an easy trip for friends and family to make. I was speaking to some of the athletes that are going over to Paris, and they're talking about the fact they're taking 60 or 70 people that they know all coming across. But they didn't have that opportunity in Tokyo. I remember in Rio, whenever you saw British fans and you spoke to them, most of them had a pretty close relationship to the athletes. They weren't just the traveling casual supporters, if you like, in Rio. It was mainly just friends and family. And I remember speaking to Jay Jones, the Taekwondo athlete who had won 2 gold medals, but came up short in Tokyo. And she said that she just didn't feel right when she was out there because she didn't have that little support team around her of friends and family. So I think having people there, and I think Great Britain after France have sold more tickets for these Olympic Games than any other nation on the planet. So I think there'll be a lot of union flags there. There'll be a lot of red, white and blue. And that's the red, white and blue of Great Britain in all the arenas as well when there's British athletes there. In terms of what's new, we've got a new sport, break dancing. So that's coming in. Unfortunately, B-Boy Kid Karam and B-Boy Sonny have not qualified for Team GB. We had hopes that they might. But they have not qualified, so no Team GB interest in the breaking. Sport climbing has changed a little bit this time. Last time they did a combined sport climbing event. This time they've split it up. So you've got speed climbing, which actually is going to be the quickest event at the Olympic Games. That's where you basically climb up a wall. First one to the top hits the thing, you win the gold medal. And then the second event in speed climbing is a bit more like parkour. It's called Lead and Boulder. And that is where you sort of go across a bit more of an obstacle course as well. So that will be exciting. And there's some hopes there. Great Britain have qualified 4 sport climbers. The surfing is going to be interesting. And Sky Brown, the skateboarder, tried to qualify in both sports, which would have presented a logistical challenge because the skateboarding is happening in Paris. The surfing is happening in Tahiti. Which of course, you know, historically was a French colony. So Tahiti is hosting the surfing. I did put my hand up to see if they wanted me to go and spend the 2 weeks in Tahiti to cover the surfing, but apparently they've got other things for me to do in Paris. So I've not got that gig, but yeah, that will be interesting as well. And Sky, as I said, tried to compete and tried to qualify in both. She missed out in the surfing, the last qualification event. So she will just be going in the skateboarding. And there's a few more mixed events as well. So the Olympics this time have a gender parity in terms of women's medals and men's medals. And from a Team GB point of view, more women in the team than men as well. So that is something I think that Team GB are particularly proud of. And the other innovation, of course, that's come into the Olympic Games in the last couple of editions, which we'll all be talking about this week, is who will carry the flag. And we'll have a male and a female flag bearer. You know, maybe Holly Pernweb might be a contender to be the female flag bearer. Helen Glover would be another one, perhaps. Charlotte Dujardin, the equestrian rider. For me, in terms of who will carry the flag, the male flag bearer, there's one standout candidate above all for me, and that is Tom Daly. What Team GB look to do is they look to select someone with sporting achievement, but they look to select someone that has transcended their sport. Someone that's maybe given back a little bit more than just their sporting achievement. And I think for me, Tom Daly ticks that box absolutely for the campaigning he's done around LGBTQ+, the work he's done with different communities as well. The fact that he's been very outspoken about regimes on this planet that do not accept his community, for example, do not accept people from an LGBTQ+ community. I think the fact that he has that background, plus we know his achievements on the diving board and as an Olympic gold medalist, he for me is the standout candidate to be one of the Great Britain flag bearers.
Excellent. And just in terms of what are Team GB's targets for this Paris Olympics? Because, of course, when I grew up as a kid, I think the 1996 Olympics, I think GB only won 1 gold medal. They were kind of, it was a bit of a rarity. So it was such a big thing when GB won a gold medal in any sport. But of course, now it would be regarded as an absolute disaster if they only won 1 gold medal. Of course, they did so well at London 2012 and they'd done really well at Rio and at Tokyo. What are the prospects of Team GB continuing in that vein of form? What's the medal target for Team GB this time around?
Well, the official medal target, which is released by UK Sport, so they're the government agency that fund elite sport in this country. So they are the ones that provide the funding for our Olympians and Paralympians. They released their official medal. It's not a medal target anymore. It's a medal range. We used to get a target, and we got a bit hung up on that. Now it's a medal range. Now their medal range is quite wide. It's between 50 and 70. Now, bear in mind, it was early 60s in Tokyo. I think we're probably on schedule for something similar. I think if Great Britain come home with 50 odd medals, we'll probably think that's slightly disappointing. Because you're quite right, since 96 and that low moment in Atlanta when there was only the one gold medal for Redgrave and Pinson, lottery funding obviously came in 97, and that's accelerated the performance of the British Olympians and Paralympians. I think if Great Britain were to come home with 70 medals, then we'll be talking about parades through the centre of London. In terms of gold medals, 18 to 20 would be the target. Now, it might be slightly down, I think, in terms of gold medals on Tokyo, but I think broadly there'll be the same sort of number of medals this time around. And I think the other thing that we talk about when we talk about medals and medal tables is I think Great Britain will look to still be a top five nation on the medals table. They have been up as high as three. They made history in terms of what they won in London and then actually bettered that in Rio. And no host nation had ever gone to the next games and won more medals before. They'd always sort of slipped back, but Great Britain managed to do that in Rio. Tokyo, of course, was interesting because it being the COVID games and delayed and the pandemic and everything, it was very difficult to try and predict some of those results. And I think Great Britain did tremendously well. Swimmers, for example, with a record haul, boxers, with a record haul. That might be tough this time around. I mean, there's a much smaller boxing team going. I think there was 12 went to Tokyo. There's only six going this time. And with all the variables in boxing around judging and the draw and everything, you kind of need to throw numbers at it because I think you're always going to lose one or two people in the boxing, probably through not a lot of fault of their own, but just the draw that they've had or the way that the contest has been judged. So I think Great Britain will look to be a top five nation and they'll certainly be looking to be the top European nation. But they will come up against stiff competition. France, of course, as hosts, have invested heavily and have had some tremendous results on the world stage, will be strong across a number of sports as well. If people are looking for a couple of things to watch, triathlon and judo, there's going to be a real battle royal in both those sports between France and Great Britain. Triathlon, I think, will be especially exciting, the mixed relay there. And I think, obviously, Italy have been doing tremendously well. Anyone that watched the European Athletics Championships recently saw Italy. I know they were the hosts in Rome, but they saw Italy win loads of medals there. So France would need to double their medal tally from Tokyo to get anywhere close to Great Britain. So that's a tough ask. So yeah, top five, top European nation, somewhere around 60 medals. I think everyone would come home and think, job done.
And just finally, Michael, because I know you've got a busy day ahead of you media-wise, but if you've got like maybe like one or two predictions of maybe athletes that you think after these Olympic Games could be a household name, or maybe someone that maybe people don't know very much about that could suddenly become, you know, thrust into the spotlight of the national attention.
I'll go with a sport that we haven't mentioned, cycling. Emma Finucane, a teenager, a world champion cyclist. The cycling team have been decimated slightly. Obviously, the retirement of Laura Kenny, and then we lost Katie Archibald as well with a real freak accident in her garden at home, broke her ankle in three places, I think. So there's been some difficult decisions for British cycling in terms of trying to, you know, rebuild that squad and put that squad back together. But I don't underestimate them. You know, they've built more teams than Alex Ferguson did at Manchester United. And they continue cycling as well to have success, not just on the track, but, you know, in mountain biking, in BMX and in road racing as well. And I think they could win medals across all four disciplines. I think in mountain biking, I can't see anyone winning a medal other than Tom Pidcock. I think he'll retain his mountain bike title that he won in Tokyo. In BMX, you've got Kieran Riley, who's a world champion in the BMX freestyle. Charlotte Worthington is selected, who won the gold, of course. And then you've got BMX racing, Beth Shriver, again, looking to retain the title that she won in Tokyo. On the road, I think Josh Tarling, who won a bronze medal at the World Cycling Championships in the time trial, would be one to watch. But on the track, Emma Finucane is the one that I think could emerge, if you like, as the natural successor to, say, Victoria Pendleton, Laura Kenny, Katie Archibald, Emma Finucane, next cab off the rank as far as British cycling is concerned.
Okay, fantastic. Well, yeah, very much looking forward to the Paris Olympics. It's very close. The opening ceremony begins, this time next week, Friday next week. And it'll be a very, well, as we've previously mentioned, a very unique opening ceremony as well to kick things off. So thanks for your time, Michael, for your expert insight and your preview into these Olympic Games. Just have lots of fun in Paris. Gutted that you weren't able to be in Tahiti for the whole 2 weeks, but you'll just have to make do with Paris, Michael. But enjoy yourself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let the games begin.